We're so glad that you're with us today, and we're asking the question, how may I live a victorious Christian life? I know that this is a question that has haunted you and me many, many times. We've known Christians who lived on a level to which perhaps we have been pretty much of a stranger, and we've said, oh, I wish I had the calm and the peace and the poise and the assurance and the joy and the victory that that particular Christian has. Well, this leads me to read a paragraph today with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the first 4 verses. Paul, writing to his friends at Corinth, says, and I quote, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Apollos, and another, I am of Paul, are ye not carnal?" Now, it's very obvious from this paragraph that there are two types of believers in the world today, carnal and spiritual. The carnal believer is dominated by the flesh, that is, the old nature, the old Adam nature by which he came into this world. The spiritual believer, on the other hand, is one who enjoys the leading and the filling of the Holy Spirit. He's an overcomer, whereas the other is pretty much overcome. Now the question is, how may I rise to the level of spirituality that the Lord would have me rise to and walk in? Now, if I'm going to be a happy, victorious, conquering Christian, I must recognize 3 basic facts. Number 1, I must recognize the depravity of the flesh. That is, the utter vileness of the nature that I had as one born into the family of Adam. Then secondly, I must recognize the perfection of the new life. The life that comes from above, from God. And then thirdly, I must know something of the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now these 3 factors are of the highest importance. So let's take them slowly. First of all, I must recognize that the flesh is absolutely corrupt. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? John 6:63, the flesh profiteth nothing. Romans 7:18, Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And Romans 8:7-8 reinforces it by saying, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, let's get this straight. The nature which you and I inherited from our parents, and which they in turn inherited from their parents, and so on back to Adam, is a fallen, sinful nature with a bias toward evil. You say, but that doesn't apply to babies, does it? Oh, doesn't it? Well, I tell you, a baby doesn't have to be very old before it can manifest the fact that it has self-will, that it has temper. It doesn't have to be very far on in the road with its ability to talk before it will use deceit and tell lies. And say no when mother says yes, and say yes when mother says no. It has self-will. It has a deceitful nature. Why, sure. And then, as we develop into adulthood, all the evils, the innate evils from the heart spring out into the life. And the words of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 7 are absolutely true. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, pride, blasphemy, foolishness, lasciviousness, covetousness, and so on down the list. All these things come from within, said the Savior, and they defile the man. You see, they emanate from the flesh. Now, I must also recognize that no amount of concentration or consecration will affect any change. That when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and I became a Christian, the flesh still remained the flesh. Still as evil, still as incorrigible, still as unmanageable as it ever was. Now then, the second thing. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became the subject of a miracle. Something happened within me. I didn't quite realize it at the time. I didn't know what it was. But you know, it was the implantation of a new life, the communication of a new nature. This is what the Lord meant when he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, there's never a birth without a nature. Right? So that when I was born again, or born from above, I received the divine life and nature. You see, this is what eternal life is. The gift of God is eternal life, says Romans 6:23. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, this everlasting life is the very life of God, and is communicated miraculously to me when I become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this new life is absolutely perfect. It's as perfect as its source. It's a life and nature that is sinlessly divine. It delights in holiness. It delights in prayer. It delights in the Word of God. It is a love for saints. We know, says 1 John 3:14, we know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. We love the Lord's people. And this new life desires to feed on the Word of God. And it delights in the things of God. But the old nature, it seems to be more rebellious than ever before. It seems to bring us into defeat. Say, take an illustration. Take two illustrations from the Old Testament. You remember Noah's two birds? You remember when the flood struck and Noah and his family inside the ark rose on the waves, safe and secure in the security of that ark? And after many, many long, long days, and the flood and the water ceased, many long days passed by, finally one day Noah sent out a raven, and the raven never returned. The raven never returned to the ark. You see, the raven is an unclean bird. It feeds on carrion. It feeds on death. And that raven probably saw some old cow or some old dead horse floating around, and it lighted on that bit of carrion, on that carcass, and it fed on it, and it rested on it, and it said, goodbye, Noah, I'm not interested in you anymore. But then Noah let out a dove. And it is written in Genesis that the dove found no place for the sole of her foot. And so the dove came back to the ark, to Noah. You see, the dove doesn't feed on death. It is a different nature from the raven. Now, every believer has the raven nature and the dove nature within him. And the raven nature feeds on the filth and the dirt and the sin of this world. But the new nature, the dove nature, the new spiritual life, that's different. That's different. You see? I'm talking now about the dove nature, the new life, the clean nature. Now, these two exist in the same breast. You know, there were a few boys who, after school, used to have a habit of playing in a dark loft. And they used to climb the ladder into this dark loft and play in there in the dark and scoot around and scare one another and hide from one another in the dark and so on. They did this for quite a number of days until one day when the boys were about to ascend the ladder into the dark loft after their school, the daddy of one of the boys, who happened to be the older of the loft, said, boys, I'm going up in there. I've got to get something out of that loft. And he took a flashlight with him. And so, accompanied by their dad and the flashlight, The boys went up and, uh-oh. When the father flashed the light around that dark upper loft and the boys saw the spiders and the bats and the dirt up there, they said, ooh, never again. We're not coming up into this place again. Now, what made the difference? The boys were happy there up until the time the father went up. Ah, but you say, I know the answer to that. The dad took a flashlight, that's right, and the light revealed the dirt that was there, and the boys said, we won't play here anymore. You see, when you and I were saved by the grace of God, the new life moved in, and the darkness and the flesh, we saw all the filth, and the flesh seemed to be worse than ever. Now, the believer has both natures within his breast. Now, then, how can I be victorious? How can I have victory over the old nature, the movements, the inclinations, the surgings of that old nature that gets me into so much trouble? This is why the Holy Spirit has come, you see. The Holy Spirit of God came to live within our hearts when we received Christ as our Savior. And listen, Galatians chapter 5 explains it. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now I'm going to read it from the American Standard Version. It's slightly different. You'll listen, won't you? Galatians 5:16, American Standard. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You see the two natures, the flesh and the spirit? Now the Holy Spirit takes up the battle for the Christian as he yields to Christ. For example, supposing I have a besetting sin as a Christian. I want victory over it. I come and I turn the battle over to the Lord Jesus, who's living for me at the Father's right hand. I turn it over entirely to him and say, Lord, undertake for me. Then the Holy Spirit takes up the battle. I'm never called upon to fight the flesh. Not I, for I'm quite incapable of meeting its maneuvers and its strength, but the powerful indwelling and ungrieved Holy Spirit is a more than a match for the flesh. And if I abandon all confidence in self, and I give up the battle and say, Lord Jesus, you are able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by thee, I turn to thee now, I acknowledge thee, you deliver me, and then the Holy Spirit enables the believer to be more than conqueror through him that loveth us. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And again, walk in the Spirit or by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Our Lord is a mighty Lord. All authority is given unto him. And he is able to deliver us and to give us complete victory so that we, at the close of our lives, can say, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do.